The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. With every episode of the show, I am determined to make sure you're living your best life. That's right. I want you all to be superwomen. And joining me today is Simon Chang. Simon is founder and CEO of Peak Tea Crystals, the only tea designed for benefits like gut health, reduced stress, and sustained energy. Simon is a certified Qigong meditation expert and the youngest member of the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health Nutrition Roundtable and a graduate of both Harvard and Stanford Universities. Simon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Taz. It's great to be here.
Well, you've got an impressive bio. You're well-educated, well-versed, but you've got a story of kind of some of the things that you've been through that have landed you in a place where you're talking about breath work and teas and crystals and all this stuff. So tell us a little bit about your journey, and then we'll dive into kind of what you've learned from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a native of Hong Kong. It's where I grew up. So I was very much surrounded by very Eastern approaches to health and wellness. But when I got to my late teens, I got very kind of involved in what people call the rat race. I was always obsessed with kind of doing the right thing and going to the right places. And, you know, when I graduated from college, it meant getting the right job. And so for 10 years, I worked in finance in a hedge fund where my hours were easily 18 hours a day. I was fueled by three double espressos, and I was constantly on the road traveling and really prioritized with, you know, all the wrong things that I didn't feel fulfilled by. And my health really suffered tremendously. I got at least two, sometimes three respiratory infections a year. I had severe allergies. So I was constantly on steroid nasal sprays as well as antibiotics to cure the infections. And during those 10 years, I would constantly see the doctor and be prescribed drugs, which I happily took because I thought they were making me better. But little did I know, it was actually, I think, eroding my health on a very fundamental level. And, you know, I like to think that those 10 years were in fact, you know, slowly killing me. So both my lungs collapsed. I had to get operations and get both stapled up. And then finally, Finally, when I turned 30, it was another respiratory issue. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. And again, just, you know, really, you know, thoughtlessly and very casually taking the recommendation of my doctor, I got a full operation. I mean, I got the works. They removed a lot of my soft palate, which is the soft part of the upper part of your mouth. They reduced my nasal turbinates, which is, you know, the things that block your nose. And worst of all, they moved my whole tongue forward by cutting a hole in my jawbone and pulling that piece of bone out where it was attached to a tendon in my tongue, and then inserting a screw in my jaw to put it in place. And the whole procedure was just a catastrophe. My sleep apnea was much worse because of all the scar tissue, and I got an infection from the screw. And so it was very ineffective, and I ended up having to be on intravenous antibiotics for 2 months to get rid of it. And that really beginning of my journey. Yeah, that was the beginning of my journey of self-healing, where I really returned to my roots I spent 2 years traveling around Asia, China, Tibet, Indonesia, certainly in Singapore and Hong Kong, finding the best masters in traditional Chinese medicine as well as traditional breath work to heal me. And it was that moment I considered to be kind of my real awakening.
You know, your story, Simon, is not unlike so many people that I talk to, where we've got this great technology in Western conventional medicine. We've got every scan, procedure, you know, surgery, so much available. But at the end of the day, it feels like it's a lot of effort with very little results. And I feel like when I listen to your story, I hear the same thing, like heroic after heroic effort by probably really well-meaning doctors who are doing what they're trained to do, but the outcome still not being worth the heroism that everybody exerts. I mean, that's sort of how I feel. Is that kind of how you felt as well as you walk through this?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Dr. Taz. That's absolutely the case. I think Western medicine is great at saving you in the kind of, you know, final moments of your illness when the illness has completely taken over. And I think, you know, looking back, what I completely neglected in those 10 years was addressing the fundamental root causes. of a lot of my problems. And that's exactly what Eastern, more traditional traditions health, like plant medicine and Qigong medicinal breathwork has taught me. It's really addressing those fundamental issues. And, you know, ever since I made this change in my life, I haven't taken antibiotics once in the past 10 years. And my sleep apnea has actually improved by 75%. So I got my sleep study done about a month ago. It's been 10 years since I got the last one. And my sleep score has gone down by 75% in spite of aging 10 years.
Oh my gosh. So just amazing results. I mean, I think what I would love to learn, I'm so in tune to Eastern medicine. I feel like everybody should know it, breathe it, and live it the way I do. But I find when I use certain words around people, they're looking at me like, what is she talking about? And she has now officially lost it. So through your journey through Asia, as you got back to your roots and as you've tried to reconnect with yourself, what was your biggest lesson? I mean, it's so rich there, right? There's so many rich healing traditions there, everything from the world of Chinese medicine to Ayurveda to plant-based medicine, herbal medicine, cupping, I mean, just there's so much. What is it that you took away from that journey of going to different places in Asia that you would say is a unifier, that is something that you could latch on to, that anyone could latch on to, you know, and not kind of get glossy-eyed as we spit out different terms and, you know, techniques to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are probably, you know, maybe two or three fundamental patterns that I've observed and certainly incorporated into my life. By the way, Hong Kong is also the number one ranked place in the world for longevity these days, which is remarkable because it's an extremely stressed out place to live in and very polluted with very little space for exercise. And I would say that the lifestyle there, and that's where I'm from, but the lifestyle there is certainly very indicative of these broader patterns. And I think the first thing is, you know, definitely the use of plants, in daily life, medicinal plants with medicinal properties, and they can be basic things. I mean, tea can be very powerful. Ginger can be very, very powerful. They're, you know, turmeric certainly. I mean, the list goes on, but, you know, there's now, I think, a huge trend for Chinese medicine, and people are coming up with very exotic and you know, less used and kind of less known herbs. I think that the jury is out on whether everybody should be taking, you know, herbs that are new and haven't been, you know, kind of used on a broad basis and at a daily kind of level of regularity. And certainly if you talk to Chinese doctors, a lot of the herbs that they're hearing people take every day concerns them because it raises toxicity in the liver and, you know, not everybody's body is suitable for it. But there are certain things that we know just are. And tea is certainly one of them. The second thing I would say that is certainly the level of family interaction. That's something that I've noticed as being very important, not just in the Far East, but in a lot of the blue zones, whether it's Loma Linda or in Sardinia. And even in Greece, there's, you know, often the holidays involve three generations of families coming together. And, you know, certainly in the Far East, the concept of the old age home, it doesn't exist because it would be considered very kind of, you know, non-filial and, you know, borderline immoral for you to abandon your, you know, parents or grandparents in their old age. Yeah. And I think that's something
that's in
that
our
really,
culture as well.
You know, that. Yeah, and I think that sense of community and that love and support and you know, really gives them a great sense of purpose and desire to be around. You know, I think those would be the two major things. And I would say, you know, a third thing that's related is, you know, the incorporation of not just medicinal plants, but of vegetables overall. I think having a predominantly plant-based diet is certainly something that I've noticed in you know, the vast majority of cultures where people live to very ripe old ages.
Yeah, it's interesting because that emphasis on the family bleeds into other health behaviors, right? Because when you do have this extended family, there is overall less stress within a household because there are multiple hands to watch children, to cook, to prepare healthy food, to do these things. I've experienced it myself as we've had my mother-in-law live with us for the last few years and just watch my stress level plummet because there's somebody who's on my team. You know what I mean? She's like an advocate for the kids and for our health. So grew up here in the States, and I didn't live that model in our family, but it was very important to my husband and a part of his value system. So that's fascinating as well. So, you know, as you continue this journey, you travel through Asia, you learn sort of these central tenets of Eastern medicine that make them healthier, maybe, so to speak, make them live longer. You know, where did your journey take a turn? What did you turn to? What was the most beneficial to you in changing things like that you've changed today, like your sleep apnea and your, you know, decreased risk of infection and things like that? What was the game changer for you?
Yeah, so there are two major pillars of my health practice. The first one obviously involves medicinal plants, the use of tea. I mean, I drink tea probably at least 6 cups a day. My grandfather is 103 years old. He's been drinking 10 plus cups a day. He only drinks tea, actually, no water. And, you know, certainly when you drink something with that regularity, the purity of it is really paramount, which is why at Peak we're kind of obsessive about toxin screening for heavy metals, pesticides, toxic mold, and you know, in our next product, even radioactive isotopes. And you know, that's something that is very critical. And I think part and parcel of that is kind of the convenience or the simplicity of preparing that, right? Because, you know, you can have the best, most pure thing in the world, but if it takes a long time or it's very difficult to prepare, you're not going to do it. And that's kind of the other, you know, breakthrough with Peak, I think, which makes it much easier for me is the convenience of having it be hot or cold water soluble. The second pillar that has completely changed my life is medicinal breath work, Qigong meditation, which I, you know, have now, you know, become certified and teach quite a lot of people. I've had 500 people from Hong Kong that I've helped complete a what they call a microcosmic simulation. This is something that is truly unique in its approach to meditation. So Qigong, I call it medicinal breath work because it's really concerned about health as opposed to spirituality. And it's also oriented around goals. And so it makes it much easier, again, this simplicity and ease of use, but it makes it much easier for people to comply with the program because it feels like going to the gym. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this for 20 minutes and I'm going to feel much better. My immunity will be stronger, or, you know, my sleep apnea will be better, or my allergies will be decreased. So it feels much more like something that you want to be compelled to do every day. And the way that it works is extremely simple. It's the most practiced form of meditation in the Far East by far, possibly in the world, just because there's so many people in China. But the way that it works at a fundamental level is effectively teach your body to turn on the parasympathetic nervous system, what they call the rest or digest mode. And, you know, that's obviously the opposite of fight or flight, which is the, you know, the kind of stressed out mode. And I actually think, looking back now, that I may have lived for 10 years on the borderline of chronic stress. I mean, literally in chronic stress, but on the borderline of fight or flight for, you know, basically my whole life. And the wear and tear in my body was very apparent. And so what Qigong teaches you to do is switch off the fight or flight and turn on the rest and digest. And as you know well, when you're in rest and digest mode, you know, your digestion is better, your hormonal health is better, your emotional health is better. I mean, everything, immunity, your reproductive, you know, functions start to become more optimized. And the opposite happens when you're in fight or flight. And you can do all of this simply by manipulating your breath. And just as a rough example, you know, when people get very upset, when they're about to get angry or when they're about to blow it, you see them huff and puff. And they tend to exaggerate the inhale. And so, I mean, we could even try it right here. When you go, I mean, you can see the person, you know, their face turns red, their head gets, you know, it looks like they're going to blow their top, right? And they're, what happens, your heart rate accelerates, your blood pressure goes up.
Yeah.
But what if you could, through exhaling, when you, you know, have a sigh of relief, you go, and you just do that for 20 minutes. You know, obviously there are other techniques to this, but if you deliberately let out sighs of relief for you know, for as a practice, then you're turning on all of the things that require you to relax, and you're depriving your body of the ability to get excited and get agitated. And so that's at a fundamental level what Qigong is. And when you do it with skill and with practice and dedication, it goes beyond that, so that, you know, you turn on rest and digest, but you actually turn on this very powerful ability to heal yourself, where you're really focused on the digestive benefits, the gut health optimization, and then everything starts to click into place when you incorporate this into your life. It's extremely powerful.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Kaya Biotics. Kaya Biotics are high-quality probiotics designed to improve gut health. Now, you want to feel good? You want to live your best life? I get it, but if your gut health isn't functioning properly, life can be miserable. The gut and its impact on our physical and mental health has been underestimated for years, and that's where Kaya Biotics comes in. Probiotics that are exclusively certified organic and only include organic ingredients, a complete novelty for probiotics. Plus, it's easy to get the right probiotic for your needs with three different probiotic supplements. Multibac strengthens digestive functions and your immune system. Candida Complex fights candida and yeast infections. And Body Plus helps with weight loss. And there's no unnecessary fillers, additives, or anti-caking agents. And Kaya Biotics are also vegan, GMO-free, and come in stomach acid-resistant late-release capsules. So try Kaya Biotics. It's a treat for your gut. Choose the right organic probiotic formula for your body and save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Once again, save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
So for everybody out there listening at the moment and trying to wrap their heads around this now, the more and more I talk to people, the more I talk to experts around the world and such amazing innovators, you know, one thing becomes very clear, that healing really happens when the body is in what Simon is talking about, when the body's in a parasympathetic state, which is a state where your cortisol is low, you're able to exchange oxygen properly, you're not in a high state of oxidative stress where your cells can actually breathe and take a moment to replicate and form newer, more effective versions of themselves. It's crazy to think, but as much, you know, as we've done with chemistry and numbers and labs and all of this stuff, the power of the breath and the power of stillness is sometimes the ultimate medicine. So what, Simon, you're describing is what somebody else may call the 478 breath, or someone else might call the 444, the square breath, or somebody else tells me it's pranayama or yogi breathing. You know, this form of breath work with qigong, you know, is yet another tool you guys can put in your box in terms of getting you to this parasympathetic state or this relaxation state. And that's where healing occurs. That's where cancer reverses, fertility happens, you know, so much magic happens. With this Qigong breath work, Simon, how is it different from some of these other breath work techniques I mentioned? What's the beauty of this particular technique that might want to make somebody gravitate towards it versus one of the other ones that are out there?
Yeah, there are a couple of things about it. The first thing I would say is that it really emphasizes natural breathing. And so in a lot of meditations, people would say, oh, focus on your you know, making your breath long and wispy and you know, like really draw it out. All of these things are regarded as creating tension in Qigong. In Qigong, you really want to breathe as naturally as possible. And what that means is, you know, as if you and I were engaged in a relaxed conversation, maybe over a cup of tea, and we were just talking and you weren't even conscious about your breathing. That's what we regard as natural breathing. And within this kind of context, every time you exhale, you want to focus your intent in your solar plexus, which is roughly the stop area where your two breastplates meet. There are many references online. Search for where it is. And so when you breathe naturally, when you focus your intent there, what happens is that your energy will be led downwards, kind of away from your head, away from your heart system. If you're familiar with Tai Chi, one of the key phrases is thinking your chi. And the reason you do that is because, you know, as your energy sinks downwards towards your digestive system and your gut, and what in yoga they call the sacral chakra, which is, you know, slightly below your belly button, your whole body calms itself. That actually is another factor that kicks in the rest and digest system. You know, that may have gone into the weeds a little bit, but I think that the most important thing is that the emphasis on natural breathing, and of letting your energy sink down. The second thing I would say that is this form of meditation you can do anywhere. You can do mm-hmm. it watching the TV. You can do it in your car. You can do it if you're in a meeting and you feel the need to calm down before a presentation.
Right.
There are many, many situations where you could practice this and just even take 10 breaths to calm yourself. Another very important technique is to put your tongue on the roof of your mouth. And this is something that is very common in pranayama and in yogi as well. That completes the kind of circulation of energy. But that's it. I mean, it's that simple. Those are pretty much all the techniques. And then the other thing I would say is that the real emphasis on health, which I mentioned before, you know, Buddhist meditation, which I've done a lot of, can be very difficult for people.
Right.
Even Kundalini meditation can be very difficult because there's a very strong, intangible, abstract, spiritual component there that is right. hard for a lot of people to access. But when you turn meditation into a health practice, like going to the gym, it's like, I got to do this 20 minutes a day so my body feels better and I'm healthier. That makes it a lot easier for people to kind of walk through that door, if you will.
I love it. I love anything that's easy for people to understand and simple. You can do it anywhere. You don't need to buy a lot of stuff or do a lot of stuff. Now, again, the initial training may always be challenging. I know even in practice here in the States, or in Atlanta, you know, a lot of times I'm trying to direct people, you know, towards Qigong tools. Do you have some sort of universal place where people can kind of go to learn this? Maybe something digital, something online, because there aren't Qigong teachers or breathwork teachers necessarily everywhere. And we have a global audience, so we want people to be able to dial in, you know, no matter where they are. So is there something that you recommend as a resource?
Yeah, so I've written about this. So either on the, you know, the Peak Tea blog, I've written about it on Mind Body Green as well. But certainly I can put a link to the blog article that I wrote. And, you know, I'm always available if people want to contact me as well. That's something that I'm extremely passionate about and want to help everyone kind of discover. So I'm familiar with courses, certainly the ones that I've been through. I'm happy to make any recommendations.
Fantastic. And what's the best way to get in touch with you if somebody really takes you up on that offer? You may not want to make that, or you may not want to put that out there. You probably will get bombarded. But if somebody does want to take you up on that, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah. So you know, we have two ways. You know, one is you know, I'm happy to talk to people via email. So Simon@peakt.com. That's my email. I make a huge point of interacting with, you know, our entire community, and extended community when it comes to these matters. And then we have a Facebook group called the Official Tea and Breathwork Group, where a lot of people post their experiences and ask questions. So either of those forums are completely okay with me.
Perfect. All right. Well, Simon, thank you for joining us. We didn't even have time to talk a lot about the tea. We'll have to do that maybe on another episode. But again, thank you for joining us and stressing the importance of breath work in your healing journey and sort of the values of Eastern medicine and what they bring to the table as we're trying to shift and change the conversation around health. For everybody out there, continue to be the best version of you that you can be a superwoman and change the world in front of you. Until next time.